Speaking of food, one of her stories, she came to dance and she just had to say, guys, you have to listen to the story. It's the funniest story. And we're like, what the crap is this? I didn't think of it. But she said that she was at school and her and Amber and Nicole were sitting outside and there was a seagull flying around and they threw an apple at the, Tori threw an apple at the seagull and the seagull fell down and Tori thought she was going to go to jail because she killed one of the state birds and she was so nervous about it. But she just had to tell us the story and we're like, what is this story? It's not even funny, but now it's so funny.
That just showed how rebellious Tori was. So I'm going to share Nicole's most embarrassing moment, but it's all because of Tori. Tori schemed it all because Canyon View was playing Oak Canyon at a basketball game, and we were up there, and it was halftime. They did a raffle thing, and if you won, you got to go down, and Nicole wasn't paying attention. Who knows what you were doing? But me and Tori were sitting, and Tori was like, Kenz, let's tell Nicole she won. And I was like, okay. And so she's like, hey, Tori. Oh, Nicole, you won. And Nicole's like, no way. And she runs down there, and we're just like, and they, like, everyone's looking at her like, what is she doing? And Nicole goes down, and she's like, did I win? I won. And the girl's like, you didn't win, but I'll give you some candy so you don't feel stupid. And I've never seen Tori laugh so hard, because she was just like, yes, it succeeded. And another thing, at my birthday party one night, we were having a sleepover, and we were prank calling like the immature girls we were. And we actually prank called Cheryl from the studio, and we had Tori tell her that she broke her leg that day snowboarding. But later she ended up calling her back and leaving
a message. It was like at 1 a.m.
Oh yeah, and she felt so, it was so funny though, but it just showed that she was fearless in anything you put her up to. She was like, I'll do it.
And Tori always had a hidden agenda. She would have one boy one weekend, another boy next weekend, and she just had a hidden agenda from all those boys. And when most people go to Seven Peaks, they're there to swim. Not Tori. Tori was there for the boys. She would make sure her hair was parted nicely, it was combed out so there was no strangles in it. She would then put blush on at Seven Peaks. Why you would put blush on at a swimming pool, we don't know. But she always had to impress the boys, and she always picked up like on some boys, and we're like, what, 14? We're like, poor, how are you doing this? But she was so funny.
And she even carried around this tongue scraper with her everywhere. I thought it was so sick, but
yeah.
She's like, it gives me fresh breath, so if I ever need to kiss someone.
She taught us all how to kiss, and the first time I saw the tongue scraper, she's like, it's my mom's. I'm like,
what?
She's like, you want to use it? I was like, no. I was like, get that away from me. And so she taught us all how to kiss boys. And she don't know what she was doing with the tongue scraper, but she did.
And going from the kisses down to the hugs, I'm sure everyone can say here that Tori gave the best hugs. Like, you'd see her, she'd run up to you, and she'd just wrap her arms around you, and she'd either dig her chin and to your shoulder right here and then make you like or she would like lean her long neck back and look at you while you're hugging, so you're just like, hey. But it just shows, it just made you feel so loved because she just wanted to see you and embrace you, and I love that about Tori.
And Tori would walk with a bounce in her step
and like a duck,
and her feet turned out like any dancer, and she would just waddle around. And they all say that I can do it, but I can't do
it. She has a pretty good impression.
And so, but maybe I was just with her all the time. And Tori was my best friend. She was with me through thick and thin. And she, the first time I went to her house, she's like, my mom's making cookies. We got to go get oatmeal. I was like, you don't have any oatmeal. She's like, well, let's climb the fence. We climb the cement fence, like 10 feet tall, and we hop over the fence, and we go to Cheryl's house. I don't even think Cheryl was there or something, or Chris answered the door and gave us a cup of oatmeal. Instead of going around the fence, nope, we hopped back over the fence, and Tori just was my other half. My mom would actually, when we would do performances, my mom all of a sudden was filming Tori, and all of a sudden she's like, that's not Courtney. And so I'd find me throughout the whole thing. So I have more videos of Tori dancing than I do myself. So, but then all of a sudden halfway through it's just wobbled up. And she was a fighter. She, the first night I saw her on June 19th, I walked into the hospital, and she And my mom kept telling me, like, Courtney, you have to just tell her everything that's good about it. You can't bring out the bad. And I walked into her room. I grabbed her hand. And I told her that she had to come out and feel this rug because it was the softest, bounciest rug ever. And that time, she squeezed my hand, and there was tears coming out of her eyes. The next day, we went there, and our whole dance team went in. And I was mad because girls had said, she's not going to make it till Thursday. I was like, no, yes, she is, because I saw her yesterday. She was responsive. But they kept saying she's not going to make it, and I had this positive attitude that I knew she was going to make it because I knew her, and she did make it through, and I knew then that she wasn't going to give up, and there wasn't a day that didn't go by that I didn't see pictures of her and me that I remember of her. She, every single picture I see, I remember exactly what happened. And why we took that picture, if it was stupid or if we just wanted to take the picture. But so many times, and she had told me the night before that she just really wanted to hang out with Mackenzie and Nicole because she's had this feeling that she needed to. And ever since then, I have felt so grateful that me and Tori walked and met Mackenzie and Nicole and went up there and jumped on Mackenzie's tramp and my mom, Nicole's tramp. And my mom picked us up, and we had this police light, and Tori's like, hold on, I gotta go say bye. And she went and said bye, and as she was texting me on Sunday, she told me, she said, I'm going on a drive right now. I'll talk to you later, because I have so much to tell you. And I never knew how much she had to tell me until right now. When I was asleep, all of a sudden I knew what I was supposed to say right now. And I know that it's Tori. It was Tori telling me. And I know that right now she is up in heaven, bouncing around with the angels and dancing, because she wouldn't be anywhere else.
So in closing, I'm just going to read something that I posted on PrayForTori.com. It was when we came back from New York City, and it was just right after Nationals when this whole thing happened. It's short. It's just, well, I just got back from New York City, as did we all, and I just missed Tori so much. We had so much fun, but it could have been more fun with Tori. Tori was the most excited to go out of all of us. She made all of us more excited. So it was weird not having her with us. We did so good, though, and we did it for Tori. Every dance. Before we went on stage, we all said a prayer for Tori so that she would be with us, and I know that she was, somehow, because we would have not have gotten that far without our little Tori. And seeing Whitney dance is just like Tori. I mean, Whitney is just as good as her. She's amazing. I just love that little girl. She is our little Tori. And I miss Tori so much, and I know that she's in a better place, and I'm just grateful that the small seconds I had with her in my life, I'm just so grateful that my life was blessed with her because she has changed me in such a good way, and she has a permanent place in my heart forever, and I love you, Tori, and may angels lead you in.
May Tori continue to always be in our hearts and always continue to dance.
I would like to share a poem with you that was written by Tori's great aunt. Her name was Annabeth Harris Pendleton. Annabeth's poem could have been titled Tori's Poem because her words are exactly what Tori would like to say to us today. The title of her poem is I Am Free. I am free from all tethers that made my world small. I can laugh, I can shout, I am strong, I am tall. I can lift heavy loads, I can dance, I can walk. I can smell the fresh breezes, I don't have to struggle to talk. I can climb the high mountains, I can swim the wide streams. I can chase the wild deer. I can follow my dreams. I wish for no sorrow for my loved ones below. Be happy and rejoice, for I do love you so. Remember me smiling, for please, can't you see? I am free. I am free. I am free. Thank you.
I appreciate this opportunity to speak at this occasion. I am Tori's, I guess it would be a great uncle. her grandfather Rex is my brother, an older brother, a good brother. hope I can do this. Through the years, I've looked at our family history, and studied our ancestors. I interviewed my mother, trying to find her history. And so I wrote about her history, her childhood, and when she came into kind of an adopted family, when she arrived in Delta, Utah in 1916 in a cold winter day in the covered wagon. They had cars then, but it was a covered wagon. I have collected family photographs. I have written stories. I have a volume of family stories here. And hope that the things I've collected will be benefit to family members in the future. In 1988, when I was a bishop in the LDS Church in California, my brother Rex called and said, "Can you perform a marriage ceremony for my daughter and Tim?" I thought, well, I don't know what the rules are in a church. I was told, given a little pamphlet of instructions, that I should perform weddings in the local congregation. So I had to get special permission from our church. I got a letter saying, "Bishop Harris, you can perform that wedding." And so that was my honor and privilege to perform the wedding of Tim and Maria. I've done many things, taught school for many years. I've involved with our family. I've again collected the stories, had many photographs, and have conducted family reunions. It's always good to go to family reunions and see who our relatives are. I remember teaching school. I taught biology in high school. I would teach a class unit in genetics. And I would tell the students, I said, it's probably good that you go to a family reunion of your fiancé or your intended husband, so you can look the family over. I did that in jest, but that's still a good idea. And I think the last comment I made was in a family reunion in June. If my brother Robert will remember, there was a young man there who was courting your granddaughter. No, it was your grandson who was courting the girl, and this girl sang. And so I was conducting this reunion. I said, "Young lady, you're really taking a chance on coming to this reunion. You're going to see who the Harrises are. Maybe you'll change your mind after that." I don't think he did. But it's good to be with family, and even on this occasion of a funeral, it's good to be with family. And I hope that we can have unity, we can have love from meeting here today. Now, some time ago, my wife and I went on, I guess it was sort of a mission for a church. It was a program through Brigham Young University called the China Teachers Program. We spent 2 years teaching English to college students in China. And one of those years, I collected some essays. I put them, my student essays, in a book. And it's amazing how they write in poetry. It's not poetic verse, but it's a very poetic language. And there's some very expressive things which I think might be appropriate to read today. The book I have of this essays is called A Distant Place, meaning China is a distant place. But I have a student who wrote this short essay about a distant place, and it may apply to each of you as you travel through life, and as you, once a child, and you gain stature and you see the world. This boy's name is Louis Ranji. His English name was James. The following story is what I'll tell you about my dream. The story did, does, and will exist until the day I die. Today I lie down and stop breathing. I was born in a small village surrounded by a series of hills and mountains. I was seldom taken out of the valley with its terraced fields that angled into the sky. I wondered why the sun and the moon rose from the eastern mountains and set beyond those in the west. Especially on moonlit nights, I mused about the dreamlike contour of the hills and points beyond. When my father asked me about my thoughts, I said I would climb the mountains and catch the sun and the moon. When the day came for me to make the climb, I brimmed over with high spirits. To my surprise, at the top of the mountain, there was no hiding place for the sun. Instead, there were more hills and mountains. But within reach of my sight loomed the coastline to the east. So just like the sun and the moon, as one dream sets, another rises. Therefore, I would go to the sea. By visiting the sea often, I have learned that the world is large and colorful. Soon, I became a student at a high school in my small valley. The town was so small and dull and cramped, I was caged like a bird. My dream lay in the distant sky. Now, I had partly fulfilled my dream, attending a university in a big city. I still keep my eyes fixed on the outside world. Certainly, a distant place is not only a concept in space, it is a higher pursuit in spirit. The pursuit will be endless, since a distant place is like a beacon that guides my journey in life. Think of the words and apply to your own life, the guiding forces in your life. Refer that to your family and some of the teachings you have received. Now, Tim's mother recited a poem that was given by my sister, Annabeth. And after she died in 2001, her daughter, I guess family, but Rita Stevenson, her daughter, published a booklet. I came across that in the box and asked permission if I could republish the booklet. And so I published a book of poetry that my sister wrote, and one was the poem that Tim's mother read. I would like to read a couple more. I think poetry and music are very expressive. Here is one called Don't Cry For Me. Don't cry for me, I'm not afraid to leave this life I've loved. For I believe I've tried to be a faithful traveler upon the path set out for me. I've known the heartache and the joy that come with living on this earth. I've danced and wept and known the mirth of loving those whom I hold dear. And even though I'm gone, I'll still be near enough to share a smile or wipe a tear. I have great faith that soon, one day, we'll meet again. And this I pray, that all goes well with each of you, and if you shed a tear or two, I'll understand I love you too. Now, there are other poems here that would be appropriate, but I appreciate my sister, who had insight to write these and preserve those for the rest of us. Now, one other thing, back to this essay book, a poem, I guess a little short essay by Chung Dong Mei, a girl in one of my classes in China. She talked about the four seasons, and that's been alluded to before today. The pageantry of the four seasons is thrilling, as a thrilling and unending drama. Each season has her own features that give me enjoyment. I like the pale green grasses in spring, the dark green trees in summer, the fine golden wheat in fall, and the white snow in winter. They present me with the various spectacles of nature. Of the four seasons, I prefer spring because it's the resurrection time, and everything in it shows me that life goes on. From my experience in life, and on a spiritual basis, where I've been involved in studying the scriptures and observing people, behavior, and so on, here are some concepts that I hold dear and I would like to impart to you, religious or spiritual concepts. And that is that life continues on after death. We have great hope in the scriptures and the hope of life eternal. I believe that in the eternities that we will recognize one another, that there will be family relationships, and that we'll continue with these family relationships and build upon the relationships we have here. And above all, that the resurrection is real. That is my testimony, my belief. And I would hope that would be comfort to the Sinansky family and to all of us, that we understand that we belong to a big family. We have these individual families, but we're in essence one family, and we should treat each other with kindness and consideration. I have great hope and faith that I will meet my parents, I will meet my sister and a brother who has passed, and that these things I testify are real, and with those things that I look forward to, I don't look forward to death, the act of dying, but I do have faith that one day we shall meet again. And I'd like to assure you, the Sinansky family, that that will take place. And this I say in Jesus' name, amen.
tonight. Sing to you just one more time. Song for a heart so big, God wouldn't let it live. May angels lead you in.
God took her to his loving home. God saw her getting tired. A cure was not to be. He wrapped her in his loving arms and whispered, "Come with me." She suffered much in silence. Her spirit did not bend. She faced her pain with courage until the very end. God took her to his loving home and freed her from the pain. Tori, as you danced in the light with joy, love lifted you. As you brushed against this world so gently, you lifted us. If love could have saved you, you would have lived forever. Oh, Heavenly Father, please dance with our angel, Tori. Love her more. Give us the strength to heal from our loss. Give us the strength to keep dancing. Amen.
I don't know about you, but I'm grateful to have been here today. I know that I'm a better person for being here and witnessing such love and service by each of you on behalf of Tori and her family. Thank you to Tim and Maria, Whitney and Brendan for sharing her with us. Although there is much pain and heartache in losing someone so special like Tori, these gatherings can be some of the most precious meetings that I have ever attended. It's in services like these where we think the best thoughts, we're kinder to each other, we come together in love. It gives us an opportunity to reflect upon our own perspective of why we are really here. More important, as has been mentioned today, it gives us opportunity to acknowledge God is our Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. I've heard it say that life is what happens to us as we are making other plans. Certainly this could be said of Tori. We've celebrated her life here today. But we must not forget and acknowledge that she is in a better place. I know that she has returned back to be with her Father in heaven, who created her and who created you and I. It is He that truly knows us best. And as was written in her obituary, she is now dancing with the angels. In general, life can be very short. There are times when we are really happy, and we also all experience some pretty crummy times. But this is because this is not our permanent home. Too many of us act like we're going to be here forever. The life won't end, but this will be our home. We spend much of our time trying to build the perfect home here on earth. However, we might be able to build a house, and it might be fraught with many things, but it's not our home. our true home is back with our Father in heaven, who created us, who knows us best. Most of what the world, the earth terms as success, can certainly be measured in our bank accounts. However, I have learned that we take three things with us when we die, and none of them require a U-Haul. We take our character, we take our family relationships, and we take certain ordinances following the example of our Savior Jesus Christ. It's occasions like these, as painful as they are, that cause me to take inventory and ask myself, how am I doing in these three areas, these three very important areas? I know these things are true. I'm a better person for being here today, and I say that humbly in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We've just had our prayer given by Janine Schmansky-Kopf. In conclusion now, we remind you that burial will take place at the Orem City Cemetery. For those going to the cemetery, there will not be an escort. We encourage you, though, to drive safely and obey all traffic laws. At the cemetery, the grave will be dedicated by Mike Newsom, a former bishop and a friend of the family. Following the graveside dedication, a lunch will be served here for the family and friends at the church. We offer special thanks to all those who have given of their time and service in preparing for these services. We extend special thanks to the Windsor Sixth Ward Relief Society for their service in preparing for the lunch. The family has now asked that the congregation sing hymn number 152, God Be With You Till We Meet Again, as they leave the chapel. The words to this hymn are found in your green hymn books. We'll now invite the pallbearers to come forward. Will all please arise? thank you for coming.